Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Open God's book, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. We've had a good Lord's Day today, and God has blessed us in so many ways. Isn't it a joy to serve Him? Isn't it a joy to come together this evening with Christians and raise our voices in praise? Tony does such an excellent job leading our singing. The children are so bright, and nobody has kids who know the Bible like our kids, and I'm just so very proud of them. I mentioned this morning that I've been at Fried Hardeman this week. Every year at this time, for the last, about a decade, I guess, Cindy and I have gone to teach, and this is a week-long camp-type atmosphere that occurs at Fried Hardeman. The kids stay in the dormitories, and the difference between this and summer camp is that it's a little more regimented, and if you come now, you go to classes, and I teach speech, and I teach preacher and his work. Now, I enjoy teaching speech, done it for many years, but now my favorite thing is teaching those teenage men about preaching. I'll have a dozen or 15. They're about 17, 18 years old, and all of them this year, with the exception of two, are planning to preach the gospel in their lives. And we talk about such important things. And it's so very encouraging to me to think about the future of the church when I get to be around young men like these. These are going to make great preachers. They're sincere and thoughtful, and they're good students of the Bible. And I'm just so very happy to get to be around them. I preached last Sunday about Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, and we drew a number of lessons from his life. I love to do character studies, and tonight what I want to do is an extension of that, and I want to talk about his sister Mary. Now, there are three major passages where Mary is discussed. The first one is Luke chapter 10, beginning in 38. The second one, then John 11, and then the third, John chapter 12. And I want to touch on all three of these, and then for just a few minutes, draw some applications. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. John 11 says that explicitly. Now, Jesus loved them. They were close friends. And Bethany is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. I talked with my parents about this. I haven't been, but they have. And he said, oh, yeah, that's accurate. About 2 miles right over the hill there will take you to Bethany. And so Jesus would go and spend time with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In Luke chapter 10, now, he's there in their house, and he's talking to them. Now, you can understand how that would feel. What if you had a chance to sit at the feet of Jesus? During my lifetime, I've had an opportunity to sit at the feet of some amazing gospel preachers. I've had moments, and I don't know if you know who Guyon Woods is. He died a number of years ago. I had a chance to sit a few times and just by myself talk to him and ask him questions. And I was just so happy to have that opportunity. Of course, again, now he's dead and gone, and that opportunity won't ever avail itself anymore. What if it was Jesus? What if you could sit at the feet of Jesus? And how much would you pay? How far would you travel to sit and just listen to him? Just sit down beside his chair and ask him questions. What would you give to do? Well, this is what was happening. And there Jesus is sitting and talking, and Mary is there, and she's listening to him. Well, Martha is fixing supper. Now, you remember how this happens, and Martha is stressed out about this. Paul Owen said to me the other day, I think that Martha was type A, and she was nervous. And so she's fixing supper, and she does this remarkable thing. She criticizes, or at least by implication, she criticizes the Son of God. And I guess it demonstrates how close a relationship they had, or she felt they had. But she rebukes Jesus. She said, Jesus, don't you think that Mary ought to come in here and help me with this supper? Don't you think that she should? And Jesus then returned a gentle rebuke and said, Martha, you're careful, you're in trouble, you're stressed out
about many things. Now, I don't know what many things means there. It may mean that Martha was preparing a large meal with lots of different items in the meal. I don't know. Anyway, Jesus said, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now that tells you something about Mary's personality. I mean, not that she was neglecting the responsibility, but it was more important to her to spend time there with Jesus than it was to be participating in the meal. And Jesus commends her here. And then you get to chapter 11 of John. Now, a message comes to Jesus and his disciples that Lazarus that you love is sick. And you remember what happens. Jesus waits for a bit and then he goes to Bethany. And when he gets there, Martha comes out first. And she says, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus then teaches her a lesson. Do you believe in me? Oh, yes. And I believe that you're the Son of God that was to come to the world. And then Martha goes to get Mary, and Mary is back there with the folks. Now, there's a lot of the Jewish friends that have come. It was very customary for them to come when somebody has died and sit and mourn with them. And I don't know how well they knew Lazarus, but they were there out of consideration for the family. And Martha does not want to upset all of that or to get all those people stirred up. So she just goes and sort of whispers in Mary's ear, Jesus is here. And so Mary immediately gets up and she goes out. But what happens is the people assume that she's going to the tomb to mourn over her brother. And so they follow right along. So you have this group of people standing there. And Mary sees Jesus. And the first thing she says is, Master, if you'd been here, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, what impresses me about that, I'm going to talk about this some more in a few minutes, is that she didn't care who was listening. She didn't care. She's confessing, in essence, that Jesus is God's Son. If you'd have been here, I know what you could have done because I know that you have these miraculous powers from heaven. Now, the third chapter that talks about Mary in length is John chapter 12. And let's start with verse 1. John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, it's getting real close to the cross now, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary, here she is, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That's King James. What it means is he was the treasurer for the group. He held the money, but he'd been dipping into the till. He'd been stealing from it. And Jesus said, verse 7, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now, observe please, number one, that Mary was somebody who really, really believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, when someone obeys the gospel, of course, Romans 10 and verse 10 says that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. And you read in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian who made that very confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Martha articulated this so very well in chapter 11 of John. And she said, I know that you are the Christ which should come into the world, the Son of God. But have you ever thought about the implications of that? What is it that's motivating Mary? I mean, what is it that motivates her in Luke chapter 10 to sit at his feet and just hang on every word? You know the answer to that. He's the Son of God. She was doing what you would do. What is it that motivates her to confess him in front of all of these people? Unashamedly, she's not worried about it. The answer is she knows he's the Son of God. What about in chapter 12? What is it that motivates her to anoint his feet with something that cost her so much money? You'd do it. You would. Because you know that he's the Son of God. This is so important.
Sometimes someone will fall away from the Lord and His church. And I have to wonder, did they really understand what they were saying when they said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You see, in the first century, when somebody confessed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, they put their life on the line. You put your life on the line. I wonder if we take it as seriously as we should. To say that Jesus is the Son of God has such far-reaching implications. I'm saying that I believe that Jesus came from heaven. I believe that the Bible is true because that's how I know that Jesus comes from heaven. And I believe that I have a responsibility to follow and obey Him because He's got authority. All that's involved in this. What motivated her? She knew Jesus was the Son of God. What motivates a college student today? In a class, in school? What's being taught in class is atheistic evolution. What motivates that student to raise his hand or her hand and say, but wait a minute, where did that first spark of life come from? And I want you to know that I believe that nothing comes from nothing and something only comes from something. And nothing doesn't generate life. God did. And I just want to go on record as to say that I believe that there is a God. What motivates a person to do that but conviction? What motivates a person is what motivated Mary. What motivates a teenager to say to friends, I'm not going to go to that movie because I'm a Christian and I don't believe we ought to watch things like that, and I'm not going to watch things like that. And so I won't be... What motivates a teenager to have that kind of courage? And the answer is, when we really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're motivated to do the right thing. I mean, it makes a difference in our lives. Now, here's number two. Mary really, really loved Jesus. Now, I know that's self-evident, but I want to show you what I mean and the evidence that I think is here of this. Here's John chapter 11 again, and Jesus talks to Martha, then He talks to Mary, and He says, after talking to Mary, I want you to roll back the stone. And you know the reaction to that was, you don't want to do that. I think they probably assumed that Jesus wanted to see the face of Lazarus one last time. His friend, the one He loved. Maybe one last glimpse at His face. And then it was reasonable for Martha, for the sisters to say there, Jesus, you don't want to do this because 4 days have passed and decomposition has begun and you don't want to see His face anymore. It doesn't look the same anymore, and that's the implication of this. And so you don't want to do this. And Jesus, in essence, says, yes, I do. Roll back the stone. Now, I want to assert that not just anybody could have come to these sisters and said, roll back the stone and then do it. Don't you know this was hard? Would you do it? If any of the other Jews standing there had said, we'd like to see in the tomb, open the grave up, you think they'd have done it? But you have to remember that verse 35 precedes this, and it says, when Jesus saw Mary crying, then He wept. He groaned in His spirit and He wept. Why did Jesus cry? Why did Jesus cry? When I was a kid, we would go to summer camp and the teachers would come out and sometimes they would say, who can quote a verse for me from the Bible? And you know what the first verse that was always quoted was? Jesus wept. And it was always pretty impressive to the teacher if a student knew where it was found. John 11:35, you know, that was a pretty big deal. What's the significance of Jesus weeping? We say, well, it's because He was there at the tomb of His friend and He was sad over the loss of His friend. That can't be it. That can't be it, because Jesus knows what He's about to do is raise Lazarus from the dead. That it can't just be that He was grieving, because it's not like we lose a friend and we grieve because we won't be seeing that person anymore and we feel sad about this and we think about the things maybe that He would like to have done with His life and now He's gone from us and we cry. But that's not what happened with Jesus. Why did He cry? Well, surely one of the reasons is that He sees the grief of Mary and Martha. He witnesses Mary there weeping. Now, I'm going to tell you about you. Let me tell you about you and me. You know, we can't get very close to people who are grieving without being touched with their grief. How many times have you visited hospital waiting rooms? and you see people sitting there beside you and you see their grief. You don't know them. You've probably never seen them before, but you get a little misty-eyed because you just can't help it. And if those people, if you're with people who are dear friends of yours, how many times have you walked through the doors at our local funeral homes and you're with people from the family here and you love them and you cry too? And that's going to be true whether or not you know the deceased. Because when we see our loved ones grieving, we just naturally grieve with them. I think that's what you've got with Jesus. And so in this circumstance, with this grieving, and Mary knows that Jesus loves her. He's the Son of God and He loves her this much. And for Him, she would do it. For Him, the sisters would open the tomb up and roll back the stone. I think it's an amazing thing. Nobody could walk up and say, roll back the stone, and them do it. But it was Jesus, you see. It was different. It was Jesus. What would you do for Jesus? I think it happens all the time today. I think this happens all the time in Christians' lives today. And so Jesus says, I want you to seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, the kingdom is the church. And I say, Jesus, wait a minute, you don't understand. See, I've got a very responsible job, a lot of pressure on me. And so I don't think you really know what you're asking for me to seek first the kingdom. Jesus says, roll back the stone. And I'm going to roll it back. I'm going to roll it back. Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. And I object like the sisters did. You don't understand, Lord. See, there's something you don't see here. And that is that I don't like them. I don't like my enemies. I don't want to be around them. Fact is, if I could hurt them, that would make me happy. And Jesus says, roll back the stone. Roll it back. All right? Why would I do that? Why would I roll the stone back? And the answer is, it's because I know how much He loves me and He's the Son of God. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And I say, no, wait, you don't understand. See, you don't understand. My family does not believe in the necessity of baptism. I wasn't raised that way. They don't believe that way. They would never approve viewing it that way. And so I really can't be baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus says, roll back the stone. Roll it back. And I'm going to roll it back. Why? Because not only is the Son of God, He loves me. I mean, Mary and Martha have been standing there watching Him, and he was weeping at the tomb of their brother, and He was sharing their grief. He's the Son of God, and He loves them like this. They know He loves them. And I'm telling you what, He loves you too. He loves you too. And so, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, here's the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed. What's going on here? I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I'm going to be faithful. What's that? I know He is, and I know He loves me. I'm going to do His will. No matter what, come what may, I'm going to do His will. 1 John 2 and verse 25, this is the promise that He promised us, even eternal life. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe that. I believe that, and that'll motivate you. Point number one, she really believed He was the Son of God. When He came up to her, she said, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Do you know who heard her say that? Do you know who was listening when she said that? Some of those Jews, when you get down in the lower part of chapter 11, some of those Jews who witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus believed, and they became followers there of Jesus Christ. But there were others who witnessed that, and they're part of the hate Jesus group, and they go back and they tell the enemies of Jesus, those chief rulers, about what has happened. And this starts cooking up the crucifixion. I mean, they're the enemies. But she doesn't care. Doesn't she know that they're the enemies of Jesus? She doesn't care. Doesn't she care that they might disrespect her, or they may have problems with her now because she's a follower of Jesus and she's made that very obvious? She doesn't care. Why? She knows He's the Son of God. And she knows He loves her. That's a great motivator. And it's true about you. Now, one more thing. And we're about to begin a new work week, and everything I say is applicable to our lives. And don't we need it? It's a reassurance. He is
And He loves me. I believe in Him. I'm going to live to please Him to the best of my ability. But there's one more thing. This week, I don't know what we're going to face. And I expect it will be like past weeks. And some of us are going to have good things happen in our lives. And some of us are going to have difficult things. Some of us are probably going to face some real challenges to our faith. And here's the last point, and that is that despite the fact that Mary was a close friend to Jesus, did not change the fact that she suffered persecution. And I'm telling you that persecution doesn't have to make sense. Injustice is a very, very bitter thing. And one of the most dramatic examples of it is right here in chapter 11. Now, I'm in verse 45. So Jesus has stood there and He said, roll back the stone. They rolled it back and He prayed to the Father and He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? Lazarus is risen from the dead and nobody denies it. There's nobody standing around that is unconvinced of the evidence. Everybody believes it happened. That's not the issue. The question is, what will you do with this fact of the resurrection of a dead man? You've got a living, talking, walking dead man. And Jesus raised him, and everybody knows it. What are you going to do with that? There were two responses. Here's verse 45 of John 11. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Verse 53 said, those who were told these things from that day forward sought to find a way to kill Jesus. And chapter 12 says they didn't just want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus. Why? Why would they care about it? Well, because he's living evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ. They just want to kill him. Now, the funny thing about that is that, well, there's a couple of funny things to me. And one is that they think that they're going to be successful in killing Jesus, who has just raised someone from the dead. He's got power over the grave. They think they can affect this by killing him. That's very ironic and amazing. But here's the second thing that I think is very interesting. Chapter 12 says they wanted to kill Lazarus. Why? Again, he's the living evidence of what is true about Jesus Christ. A dramatic irony here. Mary knows that Jesus is the Son of God. Mary loves Him with all of her heart. But Lazarus is going to be killed, or at least there's a strong possibility. The funny thing is that I don't think Lazarus probably feels the same way about being persecuted that Mary and Martha do in reference to him. They love him so much and they wouldn't want to see him suffer anymore. They don't want to see this happen. And how do you think Lazarus feels about this? How do you think he feels about the threat of death and the threat of persecution? He's already gone through this once. Here he knows what it's like on the other side. Here he knows what it's like to die. And he's kind of looking forward. I'm sure he's really looking forward to how it's going to be to go back where he was for these 4 days. I expect that the fear of persecution or the heartache of persecution is much worse on Mary and Martha than it was on him. You ever been persecuted for your faith? You see, the Bible says that all them that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. You live godly in Christ Jesus? And there's some people in this room, and I know it right now, who are persecuted for their faith. They don't make a big deal of it, but they are. And very often it comes from members of our own family who just don't understand how that you have to go to church all the time. Sometimes you've got friends, you know, and they do not understand why you don't drink with them. Why don't you? You know what? I'm a Christian too, but I drink. Why won't you drink with us? They don't understand why you don't engage in the same kind of entertainment they do. And sometimes what happens is there's a persecution from the lips of people who refer to faithful Christians as fanatics and crazy and just a bunch of nuts. Just because I love Jesus and I know He loves me and I believe Him with all my heart doesn't mean that I'm immune somehow from persecution, and Mary and Martha suffer as a result of that, but that's okay. Now, I tell you, we're headed into this week. I want to urge you to keep your head high. Remember who you are and whose you are. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a member of the body of Christ. You serve King Jesus. You serve a Savior who can raise the dead and who has promised us eternal life. We just need to stick with Him and follow Him. And He loves us so much. And as I walk through my work week, there may be things that I think about from the Scriptures. And I know what He's saying to me is, I want you to roll back the stone. And my first reaction may be, but Lord. And then I'm going to roll it back. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do to the best of my ability every single day. And God bless you as you go through this week. And I wonder if there's somebody here this evening who wants to obey the gospel. We're going to offer the Lord's invitation now. Maybe there's somebody who hasn't become a Christian. Would you like to follow Jesus? Would you like to follow this Master and to wear His name? You know you can. His blood is so precious and so powerful. It'll forgive you of all of your sins if you'll just come to Him and access that cross. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus tonight. I believe, just like Martha did, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, fully well understanding the implications thereof. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve Him. He's my King. We'll baptize you into Christ, into Him, for the remission of sins. Would you like to obey the gospel? Is there someone here who would like the prayers of the Christians? For whatever reason, you know we'd be happy to pray for you. We're going to sing this song if you'd like to respond. Come now as we stand and sing. We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.